All right, let's lock up the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline and talk more about this incredible women's basketball team. Now they just wait and see who they're going to host. Our guest has called the team for the past 13 seasons the voice of the program. Always fun to welcome in Terry Johns. TJ, thanks for the time. How are things?
Hey, things are pretty good, Steve. I mean, how could it be?
Yeah.
Bad day today. It's beautiful outside, and I'm just sitting in my easy chair here in my man cave at home, my usual place.
Nice. You know, I speak to a lot of people who might have followed Oregon women's hoops at one time, fell maybe a little out of touch, now kind of all in. But you've been there through thick and thin. And 4 years ago, that decision to not renew the contract of Coach Westhead, hire that Gonzaga coach. Obviously, being wired in, how much were you aware of Kelly Graves? And do you recall kind of the feel when he got hired here?
Oh, yeah, very aware. In fact, when we knew there was going to be a coaching change, I had several friends that would stop by and say, "All right, Terry, money's no obstacle. Who would you go get?" And I said, "Kelly Graves, but he's not leaving Gonzaga." Well, that's how much I know. He was willing to leave Gonzaga, and when I was hearing that maybe something was going on, and then it happened, and I can remember texting Lisa Peterson, the senior women's administrator,
right.
And I said, "You just hit a grand slam home run," and she texted back like, "I know." So we expected this to happen, but maybe not this quickly to get to where they are, and it's just remarkable. He's a great guy, as you know,
yep.
and obviously a pretty darn good basketball coach.
He's getting there, Terry. He's getting there.
Yeah.
Now, during your time behind the mic, you've seen some terrific players, Jillian Aileen, Taylor Lilly. Then, of course, prior to last season, this Sabrina Ionescu arrives, decides to play here. How long was it before you realized, yep, this is an elite player, this is a difference maker?
Yeah, you know, it takes probably in practice before maybe they even played some games, and you see some no-look passes, and you're low. Well, that's a little different. And then, to knock down some threes. And maybe the one that really set apart, we had I can't remember what they called it, a block party, and it was Jerry Allen and I emceed it at Matthew Knight Arena and for the men and the women's basketball team. And I remember they had a three-point shooting contest, and they had Bando on one end and Sabrina on the other. And they said, "Okay, ask the crowd, who do they think is going to win?" Well, everybody picked Bando. Well, guess who that ticked off a little bit, and all of a sudden I'm out there with the mic and going, "Okay, Sabrina's reeling them off, Bando, you better get going." I mean, she is a competitor. I mean, I'd hate to play checkers against her. Hope you wouldn't beat her, because it might make her mad, because you're probably going to be there a while till she beats you.
Yeah, that theory about tugging on Superman's cape.
Yeah.
Satu Sabolli this year has been fascinating, because I call it hopscotch. She's great game struggle. That President's Day game against UCLA, big contribution in the Pac-12 title game. I mean, and evaluating her is interesting, because she might not be a third or a fourth or even a fifth option. So this first season, from what you've seen, is it safe to say it's been solid, but what we're going to see is going to be a wow?
Yeah, I think you nailed it right there. There's already been some wow moments, as you alluded to, and she makes a huge difference when she's knocking them down from outside. You've got a 6'4 player out there knocking them down.
Yeah.
And then it's like, for opponents, I mean, can you imagine what the opposing coaches are thinking? Is who are we going to guard? We can't double anybody. But then they start doubling Ruthie, and you've got four shooters out there. And I think Tara Vanderveer hit it right on the nose in the postgame after the Pac-12 tournament loss to the Ducks. She says, they had five people hit threes. I mean, what do you do? So it's when Satu's doing that, it takes them to a whole different level. And, of course, we know Bando, and I think my take is Orla is the biggest X factor that a lot of people kind of forget about her. And she kind of likes it that way, to be out of the limelight and how good she is. But you're right about Satu. And then her sister, Niara, coming next year is, I don't know, I've heard some people say, you know what, the Sabali sisters may turn out to be something like what the Ogumike sisters were for Stanford. So it'll be interesting to see, look into the future. I mean, but we're in the now, but the future looks bright as well.
Yeah, no high praise there, by the way.
Yeah.
I'm talking with the voice of Duck Hoops, this amazing women's program, Terry Johns. You know, and you just alluded to it. You talk about the pick your poison in Sabrina and Ruthie and Lexi. We talked about Satu. And it's kind of amazing how you just gloss over Maite Cazorla, who's like Miss Do-Everything. You know, you got Hebert setting records, Ionescu the Player of the Year, Bando hits threes like Reggie Miller. But seriously, can you overemphasize her value?
No, and I remember somebody asking me, even when she was a true freshman and came in and they didn't have a point guard, so she had to play big-time minutes. And, you know, they got all the way to the semifinals of the women's NIT that
right.
year, and she made the all-tournament team, even just getting to the semifinals as a true freshman. And she was starting to figure it out. And for the Europeans, talking to all of them, they really have to adjust to this game. They all say it's, you know, it's bigger, more physical, and it's faster than what they play over in Europe, and also the officiating's a little bit different. So
yeah.
They have a lot of adjustments to make, and Maite did that, and that's probably advanced her even more. And then, of course, having a sidekick like Sabrina along with you, but Sabrina's Maite's biggest fan as well, because with Maite bringing the ball up against the pressure, Sabrina doesn't have to expend as much energy as
yep.
she does anyway in the front court, but she doesn't have to bring the ball up against all that pressure because Maite can handle it, and coach has said that she may be one of the best, if not the best, that he's ever had in the pick and roll. And he's had Courtney Vandersloot and some very good guards in the past, so that's a pretty high praise.
You know, obviously last year we'll always remember it for the Elite Eight run, or as this guy I know said, from sweet to elite. But this team, if you go back to last year, they lost their last three regular season games. Then they kind of flipped a switch in the postseason. You could kind of see signs. But overall, how surprised were you that they were able to go from sub 500 in this league to make that kind of run, not only in the conference tournament, but the big dance?
Yeah, in the big dance a year ago you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty crazy. I mean, I think when they had two losses to Oregon State, the two games they were in women's basketball, they play them both in the same week, but they were close losses. And I think that's when they kind of realized, you know, we're pretty good. This is a conference champion, three-time conference champion, and we played right with them, probably could have and maybe should have won both of those games. And then when they got to the postseason and beat Washington, Kelsey Plum in the Pac-12 tournament in front of 10,000 screaming Husky fans. And I know you feel about the Huskies as most of us do. It was fun to shut them up. But when they did that, I went, okay, now that's really something. That's a big, big step right there that they did that. And then, and then to have a close game with Temple back in North Carolina at Duke, you just could see the confidence just growing and growing and the bounce in their step. And and then the coaches just kind of took it from there, and the kids started buying into the scouts and executing the scouts during the games, and they had enough talent, even though not the experience, to go quite far. And when they met UConn, it changed a little bit, but that was a good experience, even though they lost against UConn, because I think they were pretty scared in that game. They saw the UConn across the chest, and it did change for them, but when you're starting three freshmen and a sophomore, that was a little bit different, maybe to be expected. But now they've been through that, so I think that really helped them. I know Sabrina Ionescu has talked about that, you know, it really taught us how to prepare for a game and how they weren't goofing around in the layup lines. They were serious. They were focused in. This is what we do, and this is how you do it. And she said we learned a lot from them.
A couple final thoughts for Terry Johns. We talked about the offense, whether it's Bando from downtown, Ruthie inside, and the rest of these great players. I've talked to Coach Graves about being more consistent on defense. You look at that UCLA game Saturday, they held them to 62 points, and especially that last possession, they held Stanford to 57 points. So how impressive has the defense been, not only in the tournament, but kind of coming around?
Yeah, it has been. It's been kind of hot and cold throughout the season where you saw them, I think, the first game of January down at Pauley Pavilion where they really defended UCLA very well, 70-61. The Ducks won in that one, and UCLA defended the Ducks conversely very well in that game. It was a great game, a real battle where two defenses going at it. And I remember commenting about that the officials were letting some things go. They were letting two good teams just go at it, and they did. But yeah, that game Saturday against UCLA, the defense, they were locked in. And then they had a slow start against Stanford, the down 13-6 to start, and there were some threes that two of them were by a player that they had just talked about earlier that day in shoot around, that we cannot let her have threes, and she boom, boom, knocks down two threes. So, you know, timeout, and then after that, the defense was phenomenal. That when they lock in defensively, because the offense is there, it's going to be there. No matter what. But defensively, when they lock in, look out. I mean, the sky's the limit for this team.
Yeah, you know, I wanted to kind of close with that. It's been kind of the season of check marks. You know, could they live up to the preseason hype? Could they win key games down the stretch? Could they win the regular season title? And then it just figured waiting for them at the end of the Pac-12 tournament run, it had to be Stanford. And, you know, I know Coach Vandeveer has said some great things about the program, and, you know, she's on that list. I mean, she's a Hall of Famer, but that's got to make it a little extra special, kind of like to beat USC in football in a championship game, beating the blue blood of your sport for that title.
Oh, I think absolutely, and especially since they came up earlier in the year and beat the Ducks, where the Ducks had a 9-point halftime lead. They did not have Bando, so Tara Vandeveer, being the great coach she is, says, you know, hey, Ruthie Hebert had 16 points in the first half. Let's double down on her because they don't have Bando. And they did that, and then they were able to have McPhee get off in the second half, and they were able to knock off the Ducks. So there was some added emphasis to that game for a lot of reasons, and you're right. I mean, they're the Blue Bloods. You beat Stanford ever, anywhere. You know, that's a feather in your cap. And so certainly, you know, to win a Pac-12 tournament championship for your first time you were ever in the championship game, and it's against Stanford. I don't know. That's probably about as good as it gets.
TJ, always appreciate your time. Hopefully we'll get you to call in from, like, Nationwide Arena in Columbus, site of the Final Four. By the way, follow on Twitter. Use the handle at Terry John. Spell the last name J-O-N-Z. Terry, greatly appreciate your time. Look forward to catching up soon.
Thanks for having me on, Steve. Go Ducks.
All right, take it easy.